Go quickly to John 3. It's good to see you all this evening. Yeah. What I say is good to be seen. Amen. I'm going to share verses 16 and 17 out of the Voice translation. It says, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it. Instead of judging the world, he's here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. And as I always share with you, our purpose here is to get the world righted, okay? Not to point fingers, but to get this world headed in the right direction. Amen? Pastor Ed and I were talking a little earlier about some of the things going on in this world, and you'll probably start hearing us addressing them more and more from the pulpit because we have to do our part. As the church, we have to do our part. Amen? You've all heard me share, I've shared ad nauseum about the fundamentals. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but everything, if you want to do it the right way, you have to understand the fundamentals, period. We have to become fundamentally sound. And I found, at least personally, the problem with developing the fundamentals was twofold. First of all, it was boring. Going to practice, doing the same thing over and over and over was boring. At one point, just because I missed a pass, I don't think I ever told you this, Pastor Ed, I missed a pass in the game. I had to spend an hour at practice. I had a basketball. I was in front of the wall, and I was throwing it in the wall and catching it. And I had to do this for an hour just so whenever the ball came near me, I would catch it and not fumble it. You know, because it was a fundamental. That was not fun, okay? But if I wanted to play and I wanted to be in the game in critical parts where everything had to go smoothly, I had to do it. I didn't like it, but I enjoyed the benefits of it. The other part we don't like about fundamentals is that it takes too long. We want things to happen now. We all want what we call the silver bullet. You know, even with our confession, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but even with our confession, we want to say it and have it. None of this waiting to, for due season. I want it now. Well, that's not the way fundamentals work. You know, it takes time to develop them, and when you use them, you have to allow situations to develop because of them. But if you don't have them, well, Michael Jordan said, the minute you get away from fundamentals, the bottom falls out. Period. Doesn't matter how good you are individually, if you are not fundamentally sound, it's going to come back and bite you in the you know where. You understand? So when a person is fundamentally strong, fundamentally sound, they don't care what comes along because they've been trained. And everything fits into this certain category. And since you know that, you just operate in it. You don't have to stand there and think, what do I do? You just react to it. It becomes your nature. With that in mind, let's look at Mark 11:23. I'm going to read verses 22 to 24. And don't go, oh, hum, I know you all know this. But you also know we've been taught by Pastor Clinton that the word is like a multifaceted diamond. You see the diamond, but however you turn it, you see different things. Amen? Mark 11, 22 to 24, King James Version. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, everyone say shall believe, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? Have them. The Amplified says, Jesus replied, have faith in God constantly. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be. It will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given to you. In God's Words translation, Jesus said to them, have faith in God. I can guarantee this truth. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt, but believes what he says will happen. He can say that to his mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it will be done for him. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received whatever you, to have faith that you have already received whatever you pray it for, and it will be yours. Now, from that, God showed me four fundamentals. One, you must have faith in God. Two, you have to speak to the mountain. You can't think about it. You have to speak to it. Three, you have to believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth. And four, you have to know. You have to know that you will have what you say. You have to know it. See, one thing about fundamentals, folks, is that they work in every application. And the reason we're not seeing the things that we want to see is because we're having what we've been saying. Because what we've been saying, we've been believing. I don't want to get too far ahead. But these fundamentals must be learned. They must be mastered. We have to become masters of these fundamentals if we're going to be successful. Now, remember I gave you those four. I'm going to add a 1A. In a little bit, okay? It's going to be one, and then there'll be a 1A. So I want you to remember that. But think about how this, what Jesus first said to the people. He said, have faith in God. And what I shared with you on Sunday, that statement won't mean a thing unless you have some accurate knowledge as to who God is. Otherwise, why would you have faith in him? If you don't know him, if you don't know anything about him, or you haven't seen the things being done in the life of the person telling you about God, you probably won't believe what they say. I know I wouldn't, because I would think, well, if God is all that and you're his child and you want me to become his child, yes, well, how come I don't see that in you? I mean, it's just that simple. That's why Nebuchadnezzar said, who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? He found out, but he didn't know. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God will deliver us, he's like, yeah, right. I don't know this God. So when we say have faith in God, if we don't know who God is or what God does, that statement won't mean anything to us. We have to know who God is. See, there's a reason why people put their faith in God, and there's a reason why they don't. Just like there's a reason why we sometimes believe God and sometimes we don't. There's a reason for that. And the reason is, Bible says faith comes by. So we must not be hearing what we're supposed to be hearing all of the time. I put myself in that category. Sometimes I sense that I need to be in the Word or listening to some teaching, and I tell myself, I'm tired. not physically tired, but just mentally drained. You know, it's been God this, God that, God it, all day at the office. I just don't want to think about it. So I'll put on a program. And then something will come up and I'll handle it the wrong way. Why? Because I did not feed myself. I didn't put myself in a position where I was hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word. So I continue in faith in that situation. I got weak. You know, how would you feel if you didn't eat? As I said, Sunday, most of us think that we eat one spiritual meal on Sunday and that's we're good for the whole week. But yet you'll eat more than one natural meal in the same day. You may eat three and then have snacks in between. But spiritually, we'll get one meal on Sunday and think that will carry us through the next Sunday, and we don't even snack in between. Amen? But even God, now think about this. When God was first telling Moses who he was, he said to Moses, he said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. Why? He had to give Moses a reference. Moses knew about Abraham. He knew about Isaac. He knew about Jacob. He knew what they accomplished in the name of their God. And God wanted him to know, I'm the same God. Because that gave it meaning. If the God of Abraham is talking to me, and I know what he did for Abraham, then I'm going to believe everything he said. Period. So God made a point to say, this is who I am. It's so important for us to study what God has done and what he says he's going to do, because we're building our faith. We're strengthening our faith. We're learning what we can do with our faith in God, because we're increasing our knowledge of God. You understand that? Other folks will know your God by what they see him doing on your behalf. In 1 Peter 2, verse 12, in the God's Word translation, it says, live decent lives among unbelievers. Then although they ridicule you as if you were doing wrong while they're watching you do good things, they will praise God on a day he comes to help you. So people are watching. And they're watching how we handle these same worldly situations. And they want to be able to praise God when they see him come on and work on our behalf, just as they heard us say he would. But if we don't have the fundamentals of speaking, as they say, down pat, what we say won't mean anything. And how many of you want your words to mean something? Okay. This is what Peter what Peter said to the folks in Acts 10 in the Message Bible. Because we need to understand that God doesn't have favorites. He said, Peter fairly exploded with this good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. Listen to this. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, if you want God and what? Ready to do as he says, the door is open. The door is open. So it's not really up to God, is it? It's up to us. The second thing we talked about was you have to speak to your mountain. If you don't say anything to your mountain, guess what? It ain't moving. It's not going anywhere. You have to speak. Genesis 1:26 tells us that we were made in God's image and after his likeness. But what we need to understand is that in Genesis 1, when God was ready to recreate the earth, he spoke it into existence. And everything he wanted to happen, he spoke it. And what I found very interesting in reading that account again is that God never addressed the darkness. He never addressed what appeared to be lacking. He just spoke what he wanted. And it happened. Why did it happen? Because he meant it when he said it. He believed if he said it, it would happen. We're made like that. We are made like that. So that means we should be speaking in line with God's will. And guess what? Things should be happening. Because we're in his image and after his likeness. And if that's the way he operates, then guess what? We need to operate the same way. Because we are his children. I expected that my children would take on my characteristics. Unfortunately, some of them did. And we had to change them. Because they knew at one point, they knew more of me before Christ than in Christ. And so I had to help them get to that in Christ transition. But what they did, what they saw me do. They acted the way they saw me act. Why? I was their father. I was their example. If I said it, it should be so. And they took that and ran with it. I had to go back and say, I said it, yeah, but it was wrong when I said it. When God blesses people, he does it saying. He doesn't think blessings on us. He says them. So we have to speak, we have to say, we have to reflect God's nature, and part of that nature is speaking. Speaking things into existence. And not having any doubt when we speak. And not focusing on the current conditions when we speak. We have to realize this is God's will for me. And not pay any attention to what's going on that's contrary. And we just stay zeroed in, speaking his will. And thoroughly believing that it's going to be so. You have to believe God. You have to believe in your heart what you've spoken with your mouth. That's the third fundamental. We have to. Otherwise, we're just speaking for nothing. Look at in Matthew 12. How did that happen? Matthew 12, I'll get back to you. Yeah, good. Verse 34. Jesus speaking to the people, he said, you have minds like a snake pit. This is out of the Message Bible. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? Listen to this according to the Message Bible. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Okay. It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. See, it's one thing to speak a word. It's another thing to believe the word that you've spoken. Too many times we will speak things and then talk ourselves or believe ourselves out of it. Why? Because we really don't have it settled in our heart. we know in our heads, I'm a believer, this is what I should be saying. So I'll say it because that's what I'm supposed to say. But really, our expectation in our heart is that this ain't gonna happen. This doesn't work. So I might as well go on with plan B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And on, you probably create some new letters in the alphabet because none of them gonna work. Because it's not God's will. And you can't speak God's will from a heart of unbelief and expect anything to happen based on God's will. Something will happen, and that something will be whatever's going on in your heart. That's why Proverbs tells us to keep your heart with all diligence, with everything that's in you, keep your heart, because out of your heart is going to flow the issues of life. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So when you allow yourself to get agitated and frustrated in your heart, guess where it's going to come out of? Your mouth. And guess what's believing it and pushing it on? Your heart. And the result is you're going to have it. And that's not what you want. But it just keeps happening. I've said this many times. When we were first ordained, every time I'm scheduled to minister, my blood pressure spikes. This is crazy. And every single time I'm scheduled to minister, that Friday, I'm in the emergency room with ridiculous blood pressure. So one day, Pastor Ed said to me, "Why do you keep saying that?" And I'm like, "Because that's what happened." And he just looked at me, and I'm like, "Oh." And he was absolutely right. Why doesn't matter what the meter reads? What do I really believe? Well, at that time, I really believed that whenever I was scheduled, my blood pressure would spike. So the other weak words that I was saying didn't matter. Because I walk around saying, "Blood pressure, I command you to be normal." But every time I'm scheduled. So when I wasn't scheduled, guess what? It was normal. But I see the schedule and I'm like, okay. I mean, I was so pitiful, I'd start planning for it. I would say, no, I tell them, we need to stay close to home. Why? You know what happens when I'm scheduled to minister? Dumb. I mean, not you, me. I was dumb because you would never do that. So you can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me till he comes." But if you don't believe in his heart, you'll be as weak as a wet noodle. Because it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives true meaning to your words. What you believe in your heart is what's going to power your words, period. We need to understand that. So if we're going to speak to mountains, we better make sure we got it right in our heart, exactly what we want that mountain to do. Otherwise, we'll stand there laughing at you, you know, probably poking its friend saying, "Watch what they say next." You know, in Matthew 8, verse 17, I'm in the Message Bible. As Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, or Capernaum, however you want to say it, a Roman captain came up in a panic and said, "Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." "Oh, no," said the captain. He's in a panic, according to the Message Bible. But even though he's in a panic, there was a fundamental principle that he understood. He said, "I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order and my servant will be fine. I'm a man who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes, another, come, and he comes, to my slave, do this, and he does it." So he understood that fundamental. taken aback, I mean surprised, Jesus said, I have yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. Listen to what he said next. The very people who are supposed to know all about God and how he works. He said, in the people that should know, I don't see this. The man who, this man, talking about the centurion, said he's the vanguard. I mean, he's the leader of many outsiders, streaming in from the east, pouring in from the west, sitting down at God's kingdom banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then those who grew up in the faith but had no faith will find themselves, this is what I'm saying, what God told me about that scripture. Those who grew up in the faith but had no faith will find themselves in the cold outside to grace and wondering what happened. I'm sorry, that is part of the scripture. This is what he gave me. The expectation is that if you are a child of God, you should act like it, or you'll find yourself born again, spirit-filled, singing the song, I'm on the outside looking in. Because you refuse to believe God in your heart. In your heart. You refuse. Devil didn't make you. He can't. We've been given power over him. Oh yeah, that's another thing we got to believe in our heart. Do you understand? Jesus said to that captain, go. What you believed could happen has happened. At that moment, his servant was healed. At that moment. I'm going to get to 1A in a minute. Now, I want to do fundamental number 4. Know that you'll have what you say. First John 5. I'm in the Amplified Bible. Beginning with verse 14. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of him. That he's granted them to us as if they're happening right now. Those didn't say they're happening right now, but he's granted to them as if they're happening right now, which means you can be sure that it's coming. You can be, and that should settle your heart. Let's look at the woman with the issue of blood. We'll look at Mark's account, Mark 5. Again, I know all this is very familiar, but I hope you're seeing something a little bit different. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And listen to this. And straightway, that means immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, she didn't think that she would be healed. She knew that she would be healed. And guess what? And this is leading into 1A. Notice what happened with her. She said it. She believed it in her heart. She did what she said and what she believed. And she got healed before Jesus ever addressed her. It didn't happen after Jesus turned and spoke to her. The moment she touched him, power went out of him, and she was healed. He didn't have to lay hands on her. He didn't have to speak to her. Nothing. As a matter of fact, that's how he knew that she was there. He said, power's gone out of me. But Jesus didn't have to do it. It was all on her. She spoke it. She believed it. She acted on it. And she got it. Because she did not doubt, and she had plenty of reasons to think that what she wanted to do was ridiculous. She was violating the law, because according to the Levitical law, when you have an issue of blood, you're unclean. And the Levitical law spoke specifically, because I was looking at it today, it specifically talked about when you have an issue of blood outside of your normal menstrual cycle. It said you're still unclean. And she went through, Pastor Hagen was talking about this, she went through a press of people. Now, she was supposed to go through shouting out, unclean, unclean, so everybody could run away. But she believed that all she had to do was just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and she would be whole. Think about that for a few seconds. Jesus didn't have to speak to her for her to receive her healing. She had what she said. She had what she said. When Jesus did speak, he said, your faith, according to the Amplified Bible, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God. Remember what he told the disciples that have faith in God? He told her, your hope and trust in me springs from your faith in God. That has restored you to health. Go in and into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Here's 1A. Not only do you need to have faith in God, but you have to have faith and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can't have one without the other. If you say you have faith in God, then you should have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Why? Because God said so. It's that simple. See, if you don't believe that, it won't matter what Jesus said because you won't do it. That's what's wrong in the church now. There are too many other things that we've gotten in the way, so we're not thinking Jesus is the Christ. We're thinking politics. We're thinking race relations. We're thinking financials. We're thinking everything except Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because if that's what we're thinking, if that's what's in our hearts, then we're going to speak the things that God wants us to speak concerning all of these other things. He knew all these other things were going to be there. He said he wanted man to subdue the earth. That means he wanted man to bring it back under control. So he put us here. And then since he put us here, he expects us to act like it. Once you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you can speak and act based on what he said. Then you can really, you're in a position where you can believe in your heart. I mean, that's how you got born again in the first place. You confessed with your mouth and you believed in your heart. That just doesn't work for salvation. That works for everything. All right? It's a fundamental. You confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, it's done. You don't even have to think about it anymore. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and what happens? You shall have them. You shall have them. I have a question for you. What's the difference between I have and I shall have? Okay. But Jesus said, but what did Jesus say? You shall have. Okay, in the Amplified Bible, what's the difference between I give and it will be given? Right? Same thing. One is present, one means it's happening. Jesus said, it will be given. It will be. It's as good as done. God's words translation. What's the difference between it's yours and it will be yours? Okay. He said, "It whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours." Why do we think that, why do we read it and it's mine now? And get frustrated and counteract everything you've been believing and saying up to that point? Because you want it now. Well, he may have allowed them to be invented, but God is not a microwave oven. Okay? No, he does things in his time frame, but he guarantees you that it's going to happen. That should be good enough. Just knowing that God's going to do it. How many of you have ever had to wait for a bus? Okay. Do you ever get tired of waiting? Just say, forget this and just walk on. You knew, even if it was, you knew the bus was going to come. Even if it was, it seemed to be a little late, you stayed there because you knew it was coming. So we give the bus more props than we give God. He said, you will have it. So why don't we just, and we did the question is, did we say it with our mouth? Did we say we will have it? Did we say, I believe we have this, and we said it with no doubt in our heart? If the answer to that is yes, all we have to do is wait. And what do you do while you're waiting? You continue to do what he's told you to do. He knows the schedule. He always has the right time. Okay, he doesn't change. There's no God light savings time. And no. He has his due season. He knows what it is. And we have to know that he knows and just trust him. And let our words echo that trust that we have in him. But look at this. In John 16. In the Amplified Bible. Is the other thing I wanted to show you Sunday. First thing I wanted to show you was that you have to be patient and you have to wait. Because what God said will happen. But there's something else that I saw, I found by accident, quote unquote. I was reading, looking for something else, and I came across this and got very excited. Verse 23. John 16, Amplified Classic Edition, says, and when that time comes, you will ask nothing of me. You will need to ask me no questions. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am. Up to this time, you have not asked a single thing in my name as presenting all that I am. But now, ask and keep on asking, you will receive. And that doesn't necessarily mean keep on asking for the same thing. Keep asking for what you want. And you will receive. Why? So that your joy, gladness, and delight may be full. Gets better. I've told you these things in parables, veiled language, allegories, dark sayings. The hour is now coming when I shall no longer speak to you in figures of speech, But I shall tell you about the Father in plain words and openly without reserve. Now listen to this, folks, this translation. At that time, you will ask, pray in my name, and I'm not saying that I'll ask the Father on your behalf, for it will be unnecessary. Jesus said, at that time, you will ask in his name, and he's not going to ask for you because it's unnecessary. For why? For the Father himself tenderly loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from the Father. So all you have to do is ask, speak it in Jesus' name. You don't need Jesus to go to God and ask for you. When you say, Jesus, please tell God. He's probably up there like, what? That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. He's letting us know that he's not going to ask. We have to ask. And if we ask and it's in accordance with God's will, guess what? It's done. It's done. But there's some more. There's some more. Okay. We ask, but we ask in his name because that's a sign to God that you believe him, that you love Jesus, and that you believe Jesus came out of the Father. Now listen to this. This is what he gave me around 5 o'clock. Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? He's God's Word, right? And what did God say about his Word? It will not return to him void, but it will accomplish everything God set it out to accomplish. Is that what the Word says? And Jesus is the Word made flesh. So that means Jesus will not return to God until he accomplished everything that God sent him here to accomplish. So I have a question for you. Where is Jesus? Is he with the Father? And he didn't return void. So that means everything he was supposed to accomplish, he did. Right? So that's why he can say to us, have faith in God. He's with the Father. Everything that we need to have faith in God, he's already done. Everything that has to happen so that we can speak to the mountain and not doubt in our heart and it be done, he did. Because if he didn't do it, he couldn't go back to the Father because he'd have to return void. But the Word does not return to God void. Folks, that's all the confirmation that we need. That's the only sign we need. You're looking at a situation, well, where's Jesus? He's with the Father. I can handle this because that means everything that he said to me is done. It's when he said it's finished, he meant it. It is finished. And because it's finished, we can get started opening our mouth and speaking those things according to God's will, believing in our heart that we'll have whatsoever we say and we'll have it. We'll have it. No more. These frustrations and depressions and wondering. You know, what am I going to do? Or is God going to do this? He already said it, and Jesus already went back. So everything that you need to accomplish whatever is done. Is done. We just have to believe in our hearts that it's done and speak things out of our mouth like it's done. It's really that simple. You have to believe every single word. You must ever say this. I must have faith in God. I must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I must speak to the mountain. I must believe in my heart what I've spoken with my mouth. And I have to know that I'll have what I say. folks, you put those fundamentals in place, then step back and watch those mountains fall. Amen? I'm done. I got 2 seconds, 1 second. Oh, time's up. Folks, I got very excited because I'm thinking about these things and I'm looking about at them. And, you know, I had a conversation earlier, you know, with one of our pastor friends, and we started talking about it. And when I shared the verse where Jesus said, at that time, you will ask in my name, and I'm not saying that I'll ask the Father on your behalf because it's unnecessary, we just went off for about 10, 15 minutes. Can you imagine? You just have to ask in Jesus' name. You don't have to beg Jesus to do it. We've been wasting time doing things that we didn't really have to do. We really didn't have to. God made it simple. He made it simple. Have faith in God. Say to the mountain, believe in your heart, and it will fall. It has no choice. But you have to know God. See, it does not matter if the adversary doesn't know God. It doesn't matter. We give that too much credit. Nebuchadnezzar did not know God. Pharaoh didn't know God. Who's this God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? No, I let you guys go? Not in this lifetime. No. Our God will deliver us. So we are not going to bow down. Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, no? I'm going to play music. You're going to bow down. And if you don't, you'll be thrown in the furnace. And who is the God that can deliver you out of my hands? He got his answer. Because at the end, he said, nobody better talk about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One translation says, no God rescues like that. No God does these things that their God does. Right? He found that out. Did we find that out? Because when we find that out, then we'll stop concerning ourselves with all the statues around that's trying to make us bow down and worship. We're bowing down and worshiping the law. We're bowing down and worshiping the styles and things of this world. We're bowing down and we're worshiping their policies, their ideals. And we're forgetting that our God has delivered us. Yeah. Not will, has. Because he's given us, those things are just the power of the enemy. That's all they are. And if you believe Jesus is the Christ, then you have to believe that Jesus gave us power over all the power of the enemy. So that means whatever the enemy's power is, does not matter. Doesn't matter. They can do all the war games they want. They can display the biggest missile ever built. It's not more powerful than our God. And all I have to do is speak that missile won't fire and then believe in my heart. And guess what? Misfire. Test failed. I mean, that's... But if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. And we'll find ourselves looking for bomb shelters and stuff and things. You know, so how do you get to this point? You believe God. And you just start doing what he says. And don't put a ruler next to it. Because we'll talk ourselves out of it. This is too big. Really? You got scripture and verse for that. Jesus said, and we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said if you had faith the size of mustard seed, nothing would be impossible for you. So you have something that seems impossible. What are you going to do? You're going to speak to it. Believe, making sure that you believe in your heart what you are saying with your mouth. See, you have to do both. You can't just believe and it'll happen, and you can't just say and it'll happen. You have to do both. You have to believe in your heart and speak it out with your mouth. And then know that you have it, that you will have it. When? I don't know when. Doesn't matter. When you need it. Well, I need it now. No, you think you need it now. You really want to have it now. What you need to do is keep your faith in God now. That's what we, if you want to know what to do now, believe God. That's what you do now, and it shall be. But if you don't do that now, it shall not be. Not because God can't do it, not because he didn't do it, but because you short-circuited it. It was on its, it's on its way to you. It's taking time. So who cares? God sends it down a lazy river. So what? It's still going to get there. You just have to wait patiently for it. Amen.